But it had happened anyway. In any case, it wasn't going to be a big job. All they had to do was pull the tree off the fence, remove the metal fittings, and mark it for the gardeners to fix in the morning. It shouldn't take more than 20 minutes. And that was just as well, because Muldoon knew the Dilophosaurs always stayed close to the river. Even though the workmen were separated from the river by the fence, the Dillos could spit right through it, delivering their blinding poison. Ramon, one of the workmen, came over. "Señor Muldoon," he said, "did you see the lights?" "What lights?" Muldoon said. Ramon pointed to the east through the jungle. "I saw it as we were coming out. It is there, very faint. You see it? It looks like the lights of a car, but it is not moving." Muldoon squinted. "It probably was just a maintenance light. After all, power was back on." "We'll worry about it later," he said. "Right now, let's just get that tree off the fence." Arnold was in an expansive mood. The park was almost back in order. Muldoon was repairing the fences. Hammond had gone off to supervise the transfer of the animals with Harding. Although he was tired, Arnold was feeling good. He was even in a mood to indulge the lawyer, Gennaro. "The Malcolm effect?" Arnold said. "You worried about that?"
"I'm just curious," Gennaro said.
"You mean you want me to tell you why Ian Malcolm is wrong?"
"Sure."
Arnold lit another cigarette. "It's technical."
"Try me."
"Okay," Arnold said. "Chaos theory describes nonlinear systems. It's now become a very broad theory. It's been used to study everything from the stock market to heart rhythms. A very fashionable theory. Very trendy to apply it to any complex system where there might be unpredictability. Okay?"
"Okay," Gennaro said.
"Ian Malcolm is a mathematician specializing in chaos theory. Quite amusing and personable, but basically what he does, besides wear black, is use computers to model the behavior of complex systems. And John Hammond loves the latest scientific fad, so he asked Malcolm to model the system at Jurassic Park, which Malcolm did. Malcolm's models are all face space shapes on a computer screen. Have you seen them?"
"No,"
Gennaro said. "Well, they look like a weird, twisted ship's propeller. According to Malcolm, the behavior of any system follows the surface of the propeller. You with me?"
Not exactly," Gennaro said.
Arnold held his hand in the air. "Let's say I put a drop of water on the back of my hand. That drop is going to run off my hand. Maybe it'll run toward my wrist. Maybe it'll run toward my thumb, or down between my fingers. I don't know for sure where it will go, but I know it will run somewhere along the surface of my hand. It has to."
"Okay," Gennaro said.
"Chaos theory treats the behavior of a whole system like a drop of water moving on a complicated propeller surface. The drop may spiral down or slip outward toward the edge. It may do many different things, depending. But it will always move along the surface of the propeller."
"Okay."
"Malcolm's models tend to have a ledge or a sharp incline where the drop of water will speed up greatly. He modestly calls this speeding up movement the Malcolm effect. The whole system could suddenly collapse. And that was what he said about Jurassic Park, that it had inherent instability."
"Inherent instability," Gennaro said.
"And what did you do when you got his report?"
"We disagreed with it and ignored it, of course," Arnold said.
"Was that wise?"
"It's self-evident," Arnold said. "We're dealing with living systems, after all. This is life, not computer models."
In the harsh quartz light,